ربنا استغفره ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد وقال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للصائم فرحتان فرحة حين يفطر وفرحة حين يلقى ربه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected ulama ikram, elder beloved brothers, we heard this ayat last night as well, and when Abdul Hamid Sahib was mentioning that we should be hearing this ayat before Ramadan also, and we should be hearing it after Ramadan also. In this ayat, we are told that fasting has been made a prescription. And in the end of the ayat, Allah Ta'ala is telling us what it is for, and it is for this quality that we need to develop in us. And it is this quality of taqwa. Before we go into this actual topic, we'll just make a little muzakara of one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know our whole deen revolves around the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Generally we find that when the Hay Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, everybody gets excited at how I can also see it. But ask ourselves how much of time we spend in reading about the physical appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mannerisms of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a kitab, Shamail Tirmizi, where various ahadith are brought to describe the physical appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he interacted with people. And what was his likes, what food he ate, what drinks he cherished, and different mannerisms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we want to get close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should start by learning about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, a great sahabi, the son of Umar radiyallahu anhu, he was known as Ittiba'u Sunnah. He was an ardent lover and follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find that he was such that even the minutest act of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted to imitate and copy it. To such an extent that even if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went past a way and there was a branch there and he bent down to move past it, now Umar radiallahu anhu came to know, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu came to know about it. What he did, he also did the same action of bending down, even though the branch wasn't there anymore. So we see that even small actions, they regarded it as great because they knew that the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala instructs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell us, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ. That if we want Allah Ta'ala to love us, then the requirement is that we have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifestyle is a prescription for every one of us to attain the success of the Akhirah. So one sunnah that we find that is becoming a problem more and more nowadays, although alhamdulillah there's more deen and there's more people coming to the masjid and alhamdulillah more people are coming onto salah, still there's a lot of effort that needs to be made. If you find also, if you take all the masajids throughout the world, and if you do an analysis, we find that there's a small fraction of people coming to the masjid. So when we look at the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, we have to ask ourselves how much of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in my life versus how much the life of the kuffar is in my life. The food of the kuffar, is it more beloved to me or is the food of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more beloved to me? So one of the sunnah is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us to be different from the mushrikeen, that we will oppose them. You will oppose them. So is the sunnah of the garment. If you look at the garment of the mushrikeen, then you will find that it is below the ankles, and it sometimes drags on the floor as well. That many of us get trapped on this, that we find that we're oblivious, our garments are below our ankles. We need to take stock. When we buy our kurtas also, for example, that many times it is long, but there's a solution. We go and hem this kurta. We make sure that it is above the ankles. And other type of clothing that we're wearing also, we're not encouraging the other types of clothing, but if we are wearing the other types of clothing also, make sure that it is above the ankles. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah ta'ala will not look at a person on the day of Qiyamah, that person who wore his garment below his ankle out of pride. Now we may say we don't have pride, but who are we to judge that we also don't have pride? The one that says he doesn't have pride, he has pride. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifestyle is the accepted lifestyle. Allah ta'ala has accepted that. And the more and more we come on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the more deen comes into us, then we will find that the Islam of one person will get strong. And as a jamaat will become strong as well. When the kuffar look at us, they'll see that we're practicing on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very unique thing. In their eyes, a very, very unique thing. Many, many times, many people have had conversations with the kuffar that this is how we go to the toilet, for example. And they get shocked. They also go to the toilet. They also need to do their thing. But we go and we do what we need to do in the manner shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They get amazed at this small mundane act that everyone does. So the more we will practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer we will get to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mulana mentioned last night as well that even the bees, the honey is not sweet out of their own doing and out of them going to the different plants to take out the nectar, etc. Their honey is sweetened because they are making the durood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being a Friday also, a lot of muzakara took place in the last few programs, that how much preparation we should be making for Juma. The whole day is Mubarak. There's various Mubarak times also du'as are accepted. We should be taking opportunity that how our du'as can be accepted. We'll try to do this inshallah, that one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bring alive. Let's start with this one sunnah, it's just a muzakara, we're not pointing at anybody. But we try to wear our garments according to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore his clothes. Coming back on this topic of taqwa, we find that in Ramadan we are trained that while we are fasting, we abstain from food, we abstain from drink. We abstain from relationships with our wives. Things that were halal, we are asked and told, commanded, don't do it. If we do it in the state of fasting, the fasting is broken. Fasting is broken, right? So, we don't do it. Because we realize that Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. So we don't do all these things. This is that training of taqwa. Some will translate it as fear. But how do we explain what fear is? Is it a fear of a snake? Is it a fear of a lion? Is it a fear of some authority above me that's going to punish me all the time? But Allah Ta'ala is not like that. Allah Ta'ala is not like that. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. The greatest of sinner, he comes before Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is ready to forgive. Allah Ta'ala is ready to have mercy on him. So we will say taqwa is Allah consciousness. Allah consciousness. In everything that I do, I must be reminded about my Allah. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is aware of everything that's happening. My Allah Ta'ala is aware of that deep thought in my heart that I didn't disclose to anyone. Allah Ta'ala is aware of it. So this is the taqwa that Allah Ta'ala wants from us. That I am hungry, the food is there, but I'm fasting, I won't touch it. Allah is watching me. This is training for us. Now if we miss the opportunity, what do? We have to wait for the next Ramadan. That's one way, we wait for the next Ramadan, but nobody has guarantee also. Allah Ta'ala is giving us again and again the opportunity to develop this taqwa. Now it's the months of Hajj. Long ayat, al-hajju ashurum ma'lumat, faman farada fihinna al-hajja, fala rafatha, wala fusuka, wala jidala fil hajj. Long ayat, Allah Ta'ala is explaining some ahkam. One of it is about not fighting. Wala jidala fil hajj. Don't fight in hajj. you come back to Ramadan in a state of fasting, some people lose it, we know. Some people get angry. There's no food in the stomach. The tongue gets loose. The anger rages. So at that time, when the taqwa kicks in, it should be that I hold my tongue. I restrain myself. I remember that my Allah is watching me. And my Allah Ta'ala wants me to fast in the right manner. And I want my fast to get accepted also. In Hajj also, a person is in Ihram. He's in the Maidan of Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, Makkah Sharif, etc. There's so many laws that govern him at that time that he needs to make sure that his Hajj is accepted. And you do a certain thing, for example, you wear the clothing that's not suited for being in a state of Ihram, then you're not in Ihram. You use scented things, for example, you're not supposed to use that. So you already broke one law. You made tawaf the wrong way, or you made tawaf without wudu. These are all called jinayats. They are sins you're not supposed to do in the state of Ihram. So in the state of Ihram also, you're mixing with people. You have to move through the crowds. You have to go from one place to another. Everybody from the whole world, different nationalities, different languages. You can't understand them, but we all same Iman, same Kalima we believe in, same Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we following, same actions, but we get in each other's way also. Sometimes there's misunderstanding. Sometimes there's something that went against our preparation. Now, you know, the anger comes out as well. And it's a place where Shaitan went to mislead one of the greatest of Nabis. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Shaitan went to mislead them also there. So there again now, we are being trained also to develop this quality of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala is telling us towards the end of that ayat, what the zawwadu. Take preparations. Make preparations. It's not against the waqf to take some food, some clothing, what you need, etc. Take your preparations. But what is the best of preparations? وَخَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best of preparation is this taqwa. You there in the midst of the people. Again, you don't lose sight of why I am there. You don't lose sight that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. They have to make the ibadat of Allah, hukukul ibad kicks in. Hukukullah kicks in. You have to make the ibadat of Allah, you have to also fulfill all the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I'm there. And while I'm there, I fulfill all the rights of the people as well. Keeping in mind what Allah wants from me for my Hajj to become accepted. And it's not that I went to be called a Haji. I went to become accepted in the court of Allah. I went to find my Allah. I come back with that same taqwa. I come back living a life with Allah consciousness. That Allah consciousness throughout my life will help me fight shaitan. So we explain this now. Why do we need to have this taqwa? Just for the sake of it, that we just develop taqwa, that Allah, Allah all the time. I was explaining the other day to some brothers that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he made hijrah with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from Makkah Sharif to Medina Munawwara, then they had to go through a very difficult terrain. It wasn't a normal route. Why? Because the enemies were behind them. They had little provisions. They had to make a long journey to Medina Sharif. So, فَتَّبِعُونِي, if you look at it, is it required that we also use that terrain? We can do it, mashallah. But it's not a requirement. Allah Ta'ala didn't make it fard upon us. But what Allah Ta'ala wants from us? Allah Ta'ala wants us to develop the akhlaq of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the mannerism of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it's very, very easy. And why we have to have this quality of taqwa is that Allah Ta'ala is openly saying, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. The shaitan is the open enemy of yours. Open enemy. He's going to come and mislead. He's going to come and attack. He's going to make maswasa. Do this, do that, do that, do that. Sometimes we think we're doing the right, but we're actually doing the wrong and we forget to make tawbah. Allah save us from that. If Adam alayhi salam could have so much of himbat to go and mislead Adam alayhi salam, then who are you and I? And if Allah Ta'ala is telling us in Quran that shaitan is going to come, he's the open enemy. And Allah Ta'ala is giving us the solutions as well. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. That when that evil prompting of shaitan comes, it's going to come. When that evil prompting of shaitan comes, what do we do? Allah Ta'ala is giving us a solution. فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek protection in the Zat of Allah. Seek protection in the Zat of Allah. How will we seek protection if we don't know who Allah is? How will we know, how will we seek protection if we don't have this quality of taqwa? My beloved brothers, it's something to really think about. When we want to run to different people, when we don't know what to do, but our whole life is going away. Ramadan comes, Hajj comes, Qurbani comes, different things happen throughout the year. Allah Ta'ala is giving us that opportunity to develop this taqwa. So when shaitan comes, sometimes we can't even seek help from anybody. There's nobody around. We are alone. It's just me, my Allah, shaitan. How am I going to defend myself? I need my Allah. And further on, Allah Ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. That when this waswasa, this prompting, this evil thing that comes from shaitan, it touches a person of taqwa, then what he does? He remembers Allah. Immediately he remembers Allah. And Allah Ta'ala grants him the insight. Then he knows what to do. He knows how to navigate through all the tricks and the maze of shaitan. So we need this taqwa. And this taqwa comes again and again as training. Sahaba ikram, we can learn so much from them, that just on this quality of taqwa also, two examples. One is Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu. We know he was Saifullah, the sword of Allah. But before he was the sword of Allah, who was he? He was also a warrior, great person, strategist. In the battle of Uhud, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam positioned certain Sahaba ikram on the hillock as a strategy to shoot some arrows from them to guard the Muslims and they mustn't leave their position. When the battle started and the Muslims seemed to have been winning and the kuffar retreated, these Sahaba ikram thought the battle was over. So they went down. Some of them went for the booty. Some of them said, don't leave your positions. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he saw this move. And he made an attempt to go from behind and attack them. This caused mayhem amongst the Muslims. They didn't know what was happening. As a result of this, many, many Sahaba ikram passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was injured. Hamza radiallahu anhu, we heard also from ulama ikram that approximately 70 times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his janazah. So you can imagine who was behind this. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he saw this move. But later on he accepted Islam. But he didn't just remain as an ordinary person. He carried on striving, now on the Muslim side, fighting bravely, becoming known as the sword of Allah. His tamanna and his desire, because of this consciousness of Allah and remorsefulness of his past actions, driving him to remember Allah all the time, inspiring him to give his all for Islam. This taqwa is driving him and driving him. But how can the sword of Allah fall? So Allah Ta'ala didn't make it such that he dies in the battle. My point is this, that if you take one Sahabi, you will look at their lives and you will see how much of taqwa they brought. At all times they were worried How am I going to meet my Allah? Am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? How can I increase my status in the sight of Allah? Today we want to increase our status on the apps, on the gadgets, on the different platforms. Today we want to be known for the different dunya abilities Allah has given us. Sahaba Ikram wanted to leave a legacy behind. They went and conquered lands to establish the deen of Allah, the consciousness of Allah, the dhikr of Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu, we all know great Sahabi, the Maktab students learned this from childhood, second Khalifa of Islam. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was around the 26th person to accept Islam. He went from 26 to number 2. He was that person who was brave to go and assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to undertake this mission. But during the journey, Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat. Allah Ta'ala gave him, we know that story, we're not going to go into it. Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat. How much of taqwa came in him after this? That everything he does, he must do it correctly. One command came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to check, am I doing it right, am I doing it wrong? When he became the Khalif, even then also he didn't take matter in his own hands. We knew he was bold. We knew Islam spread in his Khilafat. We knew that many people became Muslims. But he was still worried, am I making the right decisions? Am I doing the right things? Is Allah conscious again? Taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time, is my Allah happy? Am I doing the right thing? To such an extent, he could have made his own decisions. We knew also, there were many occasions in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he came down, ayats were revealed in accordance to the wishes of Umar radiallahu anhu. But yet, when he was a leader, he called senior sahaba, and he made mashwara with them. And he asked them for their opinions, making sure that he is doing the right thing. And this was not for himself, it was for everybody. Imagine how much of care he should be taking for himself. My beloved brothers, we should be asking ourselves the same questions, that when I'm out in the bazaar, when I'm out in the medan, when I'm out in my job, when I'm in my home, when I'm in the masjid, am I doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me? Is the words coming out from my mouth in accordance to what Allah ta'ala wants or not? Or I've got more slang vocabulary in my speech than anything else? Or if I still got from childhood, I've got the swearing habit. Have I taken it out? Some people just use it casually also. The malaika around us, they're hearing it, they're recording it. Mona Abdul Hamid Sahab mentioned to us once also that when we're making salam in our salah, if you are conscious that we're making salam to the malaika also, they are there, they are writing, we're making salam to the malaika. If you are conscious about this, then the reality of akhirat will come in us. At the moment, akhirat seems to be like a remote place. It's not going to happen. But when you see a janaza, like what happened now, we'll be reading janaza salah after the Jummah salah. Then we're reminded about maut. After we go and come back from the Qabristan, the thought is gone again. We're back into our normal daily lives. But if we train ourselves all the time, then we will find that at every moment, every juncture in our life, we will be doing according to the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we live the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then deen will come alive. Deen will come alive. The British, when they came to India, they left a legacy there. Many people took the ways of the British. They had a strategy of how to destroy the other cultures, other customs. They took the riches of those areas as well, the dunyavi riches. We're living in South Africa, say approximately 150, 200 years. Much good has taken place. Allah accept it. And we still got a lot to do also. But we have to ask ourselves that what strategy do we have that we can implement to leave the legacy of Islam in Western societies? We have to ask ourselves this. Don't just shoot in the dark type thing. You have to make search. You have to think. How can Islam grow? How can the flag of deen raise high all the time? We know we're being attacked. We know we're being attacked all the time. And the Muslims of Gaza are showing us that the whole world couldn't stand with them. They know people are making dua for them. They know people are trying also maybe with money as well. But physically, they're standing by themselves. It's just them and Allah. Just them and Allah. If we don't have Allah, who we have? If we don't have Allah, who we have? So, if we have this again and again, we are conscientizing ourselves that who is Allah? What is my purpose in this world? Then we'll be living that life that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala will not change a people until they change themselves. We have to make that firm niyat that we want to change ourselves. We want to become better people. If we have a mission, for example, that in 20 years, we'll have 20% Muslims in this country, how much of work will we have to do? 20 years, 20% Muslims. How much of work we have to do? How much of institutions, madrasas, darul ulums we'll need? How much of proper businesses run on the Islamic etiquette will we need? How much of Muslims with the right level of knowledge will we need? How much of training we will need? How our dawah will be taking place? How we will be impacting on the country's laws, the country's activities, etc. Sometimes we think it's far-fetched, but we need to make near. We need to make near. When Ibrahim alayhi salam left his wife and his son in the desert lands, his job was to give the elan. His job was to give the elan. It was Allah Ta'ala's responsibility to make everybody here. And now we find many thousands and thousands of people are going to Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara. Now in Hajj also we were hearing 3.5, 4 million people are going. No kamal of ours. Allah is calling the people. It is for the people to realize that I need to find my Allah. Allah is showing His greatness. For people to realize that I need to find my Allah. It is not just to go over there and then we take the selfies. People don't live in the moment. People don't live in the moment. They say comparison is a thief of joy. We compare with other people. And I can also go there, I can also take a selfie and I can show the rest of the world. I got that 15, 20 minutes are supposed to be in ibadat, but I'm doing something to show other people that I am there. Wasting my few precious moments to ask from Allah. Wasting my few precious moments to connect with my Allah. My beloved brothers, we really, really need to take stock of ourselves. And Allah Ta'ala is telling us, or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us, we read the hadith in the beginning, that for a fasting person, there's two happy moments. One happy moment is that moment when we will break fast, that is the iftar time. We know how happy we are after a day of fasting. We are very, very happy, waiting to consume food. And the other time is the time that we will meet Allah. Imagine that person who meets his Rabb in a state of consciousness of Allah. In that state that he is close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's conscious about all the activities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ulama are telling us also, mashallah, the Transwali Ijtima took place also last weekend. And many, many jamaats came out. Many, many brothers went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that whole effort, how I can connect myself back to Allah and how I can connect each other back to Allah. By Padiya Rahmatullah Ali, he says something to the effect that be a nobody and do the work of somebody. Be a nobody and do the work of somebody. We are nothing. We are just copycats. We are there to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the somebody. He is the somebody. He is the person that we need to follow. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq, inshallah, to develop this quality of taqwa. Again and again, we're getting these opportunities. Programs are taking place in our masajids. Allah Ta'ala is giving us this Hajj season. Eid al-Adha will come also. You'll find also many, many bayanat will take place. Ulama will be advising also of how to develop this taqwa. We are not just going and slaughtering there also. We are fulfilling the command of Allah. This is consciousness of Allah. And when Shaitan prompts us, remember, beloved brothers, Allah is there, Allah is giving us the solution. First, there is Billah. Return back to Allah. Seek protection in Allah. Allah will help us, inshallah. Allah grant us tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Subhanallah.